Live from NPR News, I'm Jack Spear. The White House today laid out its plan to share some 60 million doses of COVID-19 vaccine globally, with around 75% expected to go to Latin America and the Caribbean and Asia and Africa. The process will be administered through the COVAX International Vaccine Sharing Program. The latest plan helps fulfill the commitment made by President Biden to share a total of 80 million U.S.-made vaccine doses with other countries, though it appears that won't happen as hoped by the end of June. Still, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki today defended the program.
What we found to be the biggest challenge is not actually the supply. We have plenty of doses to share with the world, but this is a Herculean logistical challenge, and we've seen that as we've begun to implement.
The other doses would be shared with other countries around the world once logistical issues are dealt with. Many nations, especially poorer ones, have seen little or no COVID vaccine yet. Pressure continues to mount for Texas to expand its Medicaid program to include the working poor. Texas Public Radio's Paul Flav reports state lawmakers are asking Republican Governor Greg Abbott to add the item to an upcoming special legislative session.
More than 50 Texas representatives argued in a letter to Abbott that expanding Medicaid would save taxpayers money and cover many of the 5.2 million Texans without access to health care. Abbott has already outlined a special session for redistricting, as well as one to push another vote on a bill that would make it harder to vote. Democratic Texas State Representative John Busey says the votes for expansion are there.
Their only real hurdles in our way have been the lieutenant governor and the governor. I think if they weren't blocking it, there would be the votes in the House and the Senate to get this done.
Both Abbott and his predecessor, Governor Rick Perry, opposed expansion, despite the federal government funding 100% of the program the first several years and still funding 90% today. I'm Paul Flav in San Antonio.
Russia's ambassador is now back in Washington, and the U.S. ambassador is heading to Moscow. That was one of the practical agreements out of last week's U.S.-Russia summit. More from NPR's Michelle Kellerman.
The Biden administration has been seeking a more predictable relationship with Moscow, and the return of the ambassadors is one step in that direction, says State Department spokesperson Ned Price.
We welcome more open channels of communication between our governments, including through our respective embassies, and that's why it was so important for us, as well as for the Russians, to have our ambassadors return to their respective capitals.
Price says U.S. Ambassador John Sullivan is returning to his post this week. The U.S. and Russia still have to work through staffing issues. The U.S. currently has no fully functioning consulate in Russia outside of Moscow. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.
Solid gains on Wall Street today following a fall off last week, with tech sector shares making up for lost ground. The Dow jumped 586 points. The Nasdaq was up 111 points. The S&P 500 ended up 58 points. You're listening to NPR. France is celebrating its 40th Festival of Music, which is held every year on the summer solstice. NPR's Eleanor Beardsley reports this year spontaneous street concerts were not allowed because of the pandemic.
People gathered for a concert along the Seine River in Paris as La Fête de la Musique got underway across France. On the longest day of the year, every genre of music, from classical to rap to jazz to hard rock, plays from stages and churches and small town plazas. There was even a techno concert this year in the courtyard of the Élysée Presidential Palace. While there is no longer a curfew, no more than 100 people were allowed to congregate in one spot, Paris police had to break up gatherings of several hundred fervent young people happy to finally be out enjoying themselves. Eleanor Beardsley, NPR News, Paris.
Officials putting together the events surrounding this summer's Tokyo Olympics say fans will be allowed in the audience, though fewer than usual as organizers try to assure safety. Olympic organizers say they'll set a limit of 50% capacity, or no more than 10,000 fans for each Olympic venue. All fans will be required to be Japanese residents after foreign spectators at the scheduled July event were banned. Officials also say if coronavirus cases rise again, the rules will be changed. Opposition among many Japanese to holding the games at all is high, with still relatively low vaccination levels there. Crude oil futures prices took a bump up today. Oil gained more than $2 a barrel to close at $73.66 a barrel in New York. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News.